Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news as United get a boost in relation to Elliot Anderson and Tchouaméni. Could both transfers happen? I'd be happy with either. We'll talk about both of those. David Ornstein giving an update on one of those players as well. Also, maybe a bit of a setback in our pursuit for a left winger. Barcola, Nusa and Diamande all actually being heavily linked with Liverpool and no mention of Manchester United. Should Man United be steering away from Morgan Rogers to go for an out-and-out winger? I certainly think Nusa could be a solution for United. And I hold out hope with Fivel's connections to Leipzig that maybe we will do something about that. We've also got a few other bits around, well, two things actually. I've got to shout out somebody who has decoded Manchester United's thorough process in recruiting Michael Carrick. We heard David Ornstein last night talking about United saying that they've been through a thorough process. Doesn't mean it's a good process, but a very, very good short analysis of the process United went through to land on Carrick. And also in answer to Bethany, or as we know, Beth, I'm out last night at my daughter's football awards and I get a message from Beth in the group chat saying Pep Guardiola has said that he admires Luke Shaw. I don't know where we're going with this, Beth. I don't know what you and Ricky are playing at, but now suddenly Pep Guardiola's the go-to football, is he? Pep Guardiola is known for glazing opposition players. It's a tactic. And what we're going to do is, for anybody who thinks that Luke Shaw's a good left-back just because Pep Guardiola thinks he is, we're going to do a very statistical analysis at the end of the show, which will sit that theory down. And secondly, do you think Pep Guardiola would get rid of Vardiel or Nico Riley for Luke Shaw? No, he bloody wouldn't. It'd be like dumping Margot Robbie to go out with Pat Butcher. It ain't happening, is it? It's a load of rubbish. It's banter. It's banter. He probably thinks if Luke Shaw stays as Man United's left back next season, United will be shit. That's probably what it is. Or he might have been talking 5 years ago, in which case I would agree with him. But not now. Not now. He's being sarcastic. Anyway, morning. Hope you're all doing very well. I had a very good night last night, actually. Very good night. I was at St. Andrews, the Blues Ground. It was my daughter's award show. And went for a few drinks in a local pub. And it was a good night. Got a Five Guys when I got home, which is a burger and chips. Don't get any ideas. And yeah, I feel good this morning. FA Cup final later on, that's football. But let's delve into Manchester United. Interesting stuff coming out this morning around Elliot Anderson and Tchouaméni. We'll start there with those. So primarily, David Ornstein is saying that Tchouaméni is one to keep an eye on. We'll come back to that. But in relation to Elliot Anderson, a couple of updates. One, Man United are stepping up their pursuit of England star Elliot Anderson and are preparing to open formal talks with the Nottingham Forest superstar over a summer deal. Forest are determined to keep the midfielder and would demand a huge fee to even consider a sale. That fee is meant to be around £100 million. Now, David Ornstein has also said that out of all the players that Man United are looking at, there are no release clauses of players they're looking at from what I'm aware of. So, I mean, look, that's a big list of players, isn't it? That's Baleba, Tchouaméni, Elliot Anderson, Adam Wharton, Tenali. So no release clauses on any of these players that we're looking at, according to David Ornstein. But sticking with Elliot Anderson, this is from Samuel Lookhurst. Manchester United have a compelling pitch to Elliot Anderson. Join us, play for a fellow Wolves End midfielder and help us win the league. For once, there is more doubt over the City manager than United's. I don't think we've got a compelling pitch at all. I really don't think that Elliot Anderson is going to pick being managed by Michael Carrick because they're from the same area. I don't think that's going to work. I mean, you may as well say Maynou plays in the midfield for England and so are you. I don't think we can do a compelling pitch that we're going to win the league when most of our fan base don't think we're winning the league anytime soon. And also the doubt over the City manager over Man United's manager, give it a year, mate. I guarantee we'll have doubt over our manager very, very quickly, whereas the doubt over the Man City manager is because he might retire. And I'm sure they'll bring a good manager in and they'll still keep spending money. So, look, I think that if Man United are going to get Elliot Anderson, and I'm only putting holes in what Samuel Lookhurst is saying. I don't think our strongest play is to say, come and help us win the league with Michael Carrick, who's from the same area of you, and Man City are going to fall apart when Pep's gone. I don't think that's going to be the compelling thing. But somebody just said, but you think we're going to get Anderson. Yeah, but I don't agree with that. I don't agree with come and win the league at United with Michael Carrick because Man City is going to fall apart without Pep. I think that's a crap argument. I would say, here's 250 grand a week. Here's a 5-year deal. You're going to be the starter in the midfield that's going to replace Casemiro at one of the biggest clubs in the world. And our ambition is that you're going to be the Brian Robson, much the same as when he came into United's side in the 80s from West Brom. You're going to become Captain Marvel of this team for the next 10 years. You're going to be the new Brian Robson. You're going to be the player that, you know, inspires this team, because there are similarities in the style of play that Elliot Anderson plays and the way Brian Robson plays. Now, most of you won't remember Brian Robson, and to be honest, most of his career I didn't see because even I was too young. But Captain Marvel was a goal scorer and a tackler. He was all action, which is what Elliot Anderson is to me. So I'd be pitching that. I wouldn't be pitching, we're going to win the league with Michael Carrick and Man City are going to fall apart without Pep. It just sounds a little bit bitchy. I would be going, no, you might want to look at our history. We had people like Roy Keane, Brian Robson. We want you to come in. Robson came from West Brom, became a legend. Keane came from Nottingham Forest, became a legend. You can come into this team as an all-action midfielder, replace Casemiro and be a legend of this football club over the next 5 to 10 years, where we're building to win league titles and be consistently in the Champions League. Yes, you can go to Man City. Is there any, with all fairness to Man City, is there any credibility in that? Do Man City players really get credibility? You get credibility at Man United and Liverpool. That's still the world we live in. Come to Man United, earn 250 grand a week and get credibility as part of a project where we're going to build this team back. Even that's a pitch. Even that, he might go, yeah, you're talking out your arse. But it's better than, oh, Carrick's from Wall's End and Pep's leaving Man City. It's going to come down to, money as well. With Elliot Anderson. There is this story that came out last night that Forest are pitching at £100 million. A lot of you think Elliot Anderson's going to go to City. I told you yesterday from our source that Man United are going to do a big signing before the World Cup. Elliot Anderson, at this moment in time, has to be a consideration for that. So look, I'm quite excited by what we're starting to hear. But there's no point talking about Carrick's from the area that Elliot Anderson's from, or Pep might leave Man City, or, you know, United are going to win the league, come and win the league. Those things are what will cause... I'm sure we said the same thing to Paul Pogba. I'm sure we said the same thing to Schneidlin. I'm sure we said the same thing to Sancho. We can't pitch lies. What we have to pitch is realism. There's 250... And the money's important. You can't say to a player, we're not going to pay £80 million for you and we're not going to give you any more than 200 grand a week. Because straight away I'd go, well, they'll give me 100 million. They'll give Forest 100 million and they'll give me 250 grand a week. So you don't value me as much. Yeah, but we're Man United. And what? You know, if you want the best, you've got to pay for it. That's the way it's going to be. And if United aren't going to pay for it, we won't get him. If we are going to pay for it, I think we've got a great chance. I can see him in a Man United shirt more than I can see him in a Man City shirt. And until he's holding up a Man City shirt, and because of all the hype this season, and it's been Elliot Anderson's the priority since September, the fact that they've given Michael Carrick the job leads me to believe that surely Elliot Anderson signing for Man United, because they can't afford not to do that. I don't know whether this was a fake quote. I mean, I don't know whether Matt, our producer, will be up yet, but there was a quote that came out last night around... David Ornstein said, I don't expect it to be a summer of lavish spending. Talk of war chests and unlimited outlay, that's just unrealistic. They will continue to be prudent, they say diligent and measured in the market. Now, that is probably the biggest drop of the morning. And there was some... I was out last night and I got sent it. And I put it into our group chat and everyone was telling me it was a fake quote. And then they went, no, actually, it's not. They found the actual clip. So David Ornstein saying, I don't expect Manchester United's summer transfer window to be one of lavish spending. Talk of war chests and unlimited outlay, that's just unrealistic. They will continue to be prudent, they say, diligent and measured in the summer. Now, I could have led this show this morning with setback or transfer setback, but I think sometimes you as a community, we as a community, we have to protect each other. And, you know, it would just be, oh, more negativity. Well, I've started on a positive. There are more positives, but I'm putting this in for the hardcore. Like, that was what David Ornstein said. We could have led on that. I didn't want to lead on that on a weekend, but that does worry me. It is true. It is a true quote, says Musiv. And it does worry me because what does that mean? David Ornstein, the day after we announced Michael Carrick's not official yet, but we know it's going to happen. But, you know, at the time we're announcing Michael Carrick, you've got David Ornstein saying it won't be a summer of lavish spending. It won't be a war chest. It will be prudent. It will be diligent and it will be measured. That doesn't sound good, does it? That doesn't sound good. That doesn't mean that we can't sign an Elliot Anderson. But what it does mean is that we're probably not going to go and get three midfielders, a left winger, a left back, a backup striker, a backup goalkeeper, because that is not prudent, measured and diligent. You know, a war chest is needed to do that. A war chest is £300 million plus. It doesn't sound like we've quite got that. So I think that, you know, that to me is probably something that, you know, we're going to have to wait and see how it pans out, because it will be obviously very, very impactive. Fabrizio Romano says that Michael Carrick's new deal at Man United will be valid until June 2028, plus an option of another year. Michael Carrick official will happen at some point before the game tomorrow. I'm not proposing to do a video on it because I feel I've said enough and I don't want to keep, you know, I want to stick to my word that I will back Michael Carrick now that he's got the job. I can't keep doing videos saying, I think this is a mistake, I think this is wrong, because that's not, you know, aligned with what I said, that once he gets the job, obviously I'm going to back him, but I don't think it's the right thing to do. So, you know, Michael Carrick will be announced officially before the game tomorrow because they want him to do the speech tomorrow. And I'm sure Old Trafford will give him, you know, the applause and hope that that they want. But I do have worries about the summer transfer window, and the positive of appointing Carrick now is that means that we can focus on the transfer window. I don't like the words prudent. I don't like the words measured, and I don't like the words diligent, because I would almost use those words for Michael Carrick and Steve Holland and Jonathan Woodgate and Johnny Evans. I think that's cheap. I don't think that's best in class. I think it's cheap. And if we're going to reflect that with our summer transfer window, that concerns me. But just to round off the Elliot Anderson story, I still have this feeling that we're going to sign him. And call me challenging or, you know, negligent or stubborn or stupid or naive or, you know, optimistic. But when a football club rinses its football fans for 9 months by saying Elliot Anderson's the priority through every credible journalist for 9 months, I expect us to sign him. Otherwise, who's running this football club? Nobody can say to me, Mark, you need to stop talking about Elliot Anderson. He's clearly going to Man City. Because I would say, well, hold on a minute. David Ornstein, Fabrizio Romano, Ben Jacobs, The Athletic, The Manchester Evening News, Daily Mail, Chris Wheeler, on cycle for 9 months, priority. Casemiro's leaving. Our midfield is wide open like a whale's arse. And they've got big arses. I don't think they have a wide open arse. But the point is, they can't then go, oh, he goes to Man City. So I'm still looking at this Elliot Anderson deal and going to Manchester United. Come on then. Don't cry wolf. Don't go telling us he's the priority for 9 months. I mean, how many protests have you avoided because of Elliot Anderson? You know, how many bad results have you swept under the carpet because of Elliot Anderson? I mean, you've been telling us for 9 months we're going to get Elliot Anderson. So, come on. Where is it? I demand it. Where is it? So, I'm still hung up on this idea that we're going to sign Elliot Anderson. Because if we go from Elliot Anderson to, well, I'm not even going to use the word. I think we have a right to demand Elliot Anderson. You know, if you go around with your mates for 9 months saying that, you know, you're going out with bloody Taylor Swift, and then you say meet her then and she doesn't exist, you just lied to your mates for 9 months. Now, your mates might think it's a load of bollocks anyway, but, you know, don't go around telling lies. So he is available. He's a very good fit for what we need. Let's wait and see what happens. You have a lot of faith in Ineos if Anderson comes, mate. Yeah, but the mic drop, Lil, is this.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
If, and some of you have already figured it out in the chat, if they can tell us for 9 months that Elliot Anderson is the player that we want and he is the priority, and they've been putting it out to credit... If you tell David Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano, our priority this summer is Elliot Anderson, and they put it out for the last 9 months, with their credibility, this fan base gets excited. So somebody at the club knows that they're exciting our fan base on a lie if we don't sign him. But more importantly, and I won't shift on this because you know it's true, we have been briefed for 9 months that we're signing Elliot Anderson or that he's the top priority. If they don't sign him, what does that mean about the statements that are going to come out from Jason Wilcox and Sir Jim Radcliffe and Omar Berada over the next 48 hours about Michael Carrick? When they come out and say Michael Carrick is the right guy, you know, he is the right guy to take Manchester United back to the top. He has achieved amazing results. You know, everybody likes him at the club and we feel that he is the right guy for this football club. What does those statements mean when you compare them to all the other statements and all the other promises that they have lied about? And that is the mic drop. It's like, you're telling me, oh, we shouldn't believe what they were saying about Elliot Anderson. Well, maybe we shouldn't believe what they're saying about this then, should we? Because it's always this bollocks. So I expect Elliot Anderson to sign for Manchester United. Maybe I'm a fool. On Tchouaméni, this came in from this. Sorry, someone just said, have you seen what they said in the Manchester Evening News? How many signings will we make this summer? That's the million-dollar question. Let's start with midfield. We can expect at least 2 and possibly 3 if they can find a take of Arigate. Expect an elite-level player to replace Casemiro and another high-quality addition and then a squad player. There is a desire to sign a left-sided player and possibly 2 in terms of a left-back and a winger. United are short of options in that area. There could also be a new forward if Joshua Zirkzee leaves. Maybe 5 or 6 new signings. It's all going to come down to the quality and the position that they come into. But look, in relation to David Ornstein, this is what he said about Tchouaméni. Elsewhere, the likes of Tchouaméni at Real Madrid is maybe one to keep an eye on. Now, look, that'll do me for now. I think with Tchouaméni, some people feel that he is the only replacement for Casemiro because he actually replaced Casemiro at Real Madrid. When searching for the replacement for Casemiro, it is very difficult because he has a very distinct set of attributes. But what better player to replace him than the player that Real Madrid replaced him with? So in some ways, Tchouaméni is the perfect replacement for Casemiro. I personally think Tonali is a different replacement. I'm not sure Elliot Anderson is a replacement because I think Elliot Anderson, a large part of his game is getting forward. And how's he going to get forward with Maynard next to him? So are we going to evolve him into something else? I don't know. But look, I think with Tchouaméni, it's always good when you've got someone like David Ornstein saying, keep an eye on it. We have also got to be aware that there is PSG and there is Arsenal and there is Liverpool all looking at midfielders. So whenever good midfielders come available, whether it's Fernandes at West Ham or Tchouaméni at Real Madrid, there could be competition for these players. But as we've said before, the sooner Real Madrid announce their coach, the better for Manchester United. Now, if it's going to be Jose Mourinho, the sooner the better. There is this window now where you've got 2 weeks left of May and then it's basically the World Cup. he is going to be part of the French World Cup squad. So how locked in is he into that? You know, is this one of those ones where it's, and this is my concern with Tchouaméni, it's like, it's timing, isn't it? Some people have mentioned Frankie de Jong. I don't think it's similar to Frankie de Jong. I think it's the timing. So if Mourinho gets the job and Real Madrid say, we want Rodri and Enzo Fernandez and we're going to sell Tchouaméni, then United go, okay, let's move. But maybe he goes to the World Cup and goes, I don't really want to think about that until I come back from the World Cup and I speak to Real Madrid. In which case, you're talking with France, late stage of the World Cup, with his holiday, 2 weeks. You're talking August before you even get clarity. So what I would say about Tchouaméni is I definitely agree with David Ornstein and Ben Jacobs and Fabrizio Romano. He is a player to keep an eye on. But what we do need to do, in addition to hotter meters and the five strands of transfers, is you've got to look at the timings. I think the timings with every transfer are actually quite easy to read. If you look at someone like Adam Wharton, if he doesn't go to the World Cup, June. If you look at someone like Baleba, no one else wants him. And he's not going to the World Cup, June. If you look at someone like Tonali, there is competition, but he's not going to the World Cup, June. If you look at Elliot Anderson, if he can get it done in the next 2 weeks, May. If he can't get it done in the next 2 weeks, back end of July because of the World Cup. And you look at Tchouaméni, again, can it be done in the next 2 weeks? Doesn't feel like Real Madrid are going to get Rodri and Enzo Fernandez and a manager in the next 2 weeks. Then it's the World Cup. I feel with Tchouaméni, this is a player where, if we want him, we're going to have to accept that it won't get done till August. And that will cause tension in the fan base when they're like, we haven't replaced Casemiro yet. So I like the idea of Tchouaméni, but you've got to realise if Elliot Anderson's wearing a Man City shirt and we're not going for Tonali, we might not replace Casemiro until the back end of July if it's going to be him. There is time constraints with him that are going to set it back. And, you know, that's what I mean. It's like, I don't know. I don't know whether this fan base is capable of going, okay, the replacement's going to be Tchouaméni, but we might have to wait until August to do it. I think there'd be a lot of kickback on that. Not that we've had any control on it, but I would just bear in mind the timings on that one as well. Would you take Nusa as our left winger, says EIP? I was going to go somewhere else, but I'm going to go there. So look, another positive this morning. Let's avoid the negative of David Ornstein saying that Man United will not have a war chest this summer. It will be diligent, measured and prudent. God knows what that means. Somebody said, what does that mean? I would say it's somewhere between 200 and 300 million spend, which sounds like a lot, but 200 million and 300 million, that's a big gap. I don't think 250 million is great. I would say it's around that. Maybe slightly less. Prudent, diligent, measured, probably budget of 250. But look, we've got owners. If they can get away with spending 100, they'll spend 100 because then they can use the other 100 to pay debts and stuff like that. We have an ownership that isn't, you know, if they can spend £10 instead of 20, they'll spend 10. Like, that's just who we are. We have too much debt to be lavish. So if we can find a way to not spend money, we'll find a way, you know? But on the winger, I was out last night in a pub in the area where Blues, Birmingham City play. So there was quite a few people in the pub, very unhappy that Aston Villa were pounding Liverpool. I was very happy because obviously I don't mind Villa. I don't mind Blues, to be fair. I'm not from the area, so I don't have a preference, but I don't like Liverpool. So watching Liverpool getting smacked up by Villa last night was actually very enjoyable. However, they're adamant that they're going to keep Arne Slot. So this is good for us next season because I can't see United with Carrick finishing below Liverpool with Slot. So that's really good for us. God knows what Liverpool are playing at. I mean, we can look at our board and go, what are they playing at? But God knows what Liverpool are playing at. However, one thing that I did read this morning, and I think it was iPaper that wrote it, Liverpool are looking at Barcola, Diamande and Nusa. And we're looking at Morgan Rogers. And I'm sort of like, Barcola, Diamande and Nusa are wingers. I think in the modern game, wingers are at a premium and we don't really have any.
Cunha's not a winger. Morgan Rogers isn't a winger. I don't know what Mbeumo is at the moment, and Ahmad seems to have lost the ability of a winger. So I would like to see United bringing in a winger. And I do think that Nusa at Leipzig, if you watch him, is an incredibly balanced player who seems to me to be on the cusp of what Elise's done going from Palace to Bayern Munich. Now, I'm not saying he's the next Elise, but he's got incredible balance. Plays off the left, cuts in with the right, quick, strong, still only 21. In the next 2 years, he might end up being the next, you know, Harvey Barnes. He might end up being the next Elise. I think if we can get hold of someone like Nusa, who will be cheaper than Diamande, I think he's a really interesting profile of player. He's physical, he's strong, and he's quick. And I think he's a bit rough around the edges. I think he definitely needs a little bit of, you know, guidance. But, you know, it worries me a little bit that Liverpool are looking at players like that, because this is exactly what happened with Salah and Diaz and Jota. And, you know, say what you like about Liverpool's recruitment, but they're very good at getting the player that's on the cusp of becoming great. And I think those midfielders that they're looking at, those wingers that they're looking at, why are we not looking at them? Because with all due respect to Morgan Rogers, he's a very good player, but he's not a winger. And as Neil says, buy cheap, buy twice. So, I would look at those. Christopher says, Nusa will not be cheap after he slaps up France. Well, yeah, I mean, these players are going into the World Cup as well. But the problem is, you probably wouldn't get Nusa or Diamande before the World Cup anyway, because Leipzig ain't stupid. Their whole existence is buying cheap, selling high. JSD says, if Liverpool sack Slot and get someone decent and Chelsea get Alonso, we'd have the worst manager in the top six, says JSD. Yeah, well, look, I saw this morning that Alonso is close to getting the Chelsea job. So we'll see what happens with Man City. Obviously, FA Cup final tonight, this afternoon. We're live on That's Football for that. Looking forward to it. You know, maybe Pep stays for another year. Maybe they bring Maresca in. Man City will still be powerful next year. They've got a very good team. Arsenal will be powerful next year. Chelsea with Xabi Alonso and a couple of signings could be back very, very quickly, especially if they don't have European football. Chelsea could do what we've done. Liverpool with Slot, I don't think they're a threat, but and probably the same with Newcastle with Eddie Howe. So look, you know, we have to be competitive this summer. And what Chelsea have done is sacked Rosinha and gone and you know, run a very quick, thorough process speaking to decent coaches, which, look, did United do that? Now, look, just on that, because obviously Carrick's going to get announced today. I think we've sort of discussed this a little bit, but I got this message from TR about the Man United process, because I just think it's quite an interesting thing to read out, because sometimes the written word can, you know, be more, give more clarity than the, you know, the verbal. And basically TR sent me this note about United's process, because even David Ornstein says Man United have said that they've gone and done a process and they don't want it to come across that Carrick was the only person left. But what did that process entail? Because you can be vague, can't you? You know, you can say to your missus, you know, I searched everywhere for your birthday present and I gave you this. Doesn't mean it's the best birthday present. You know, you might have just searched everywhere in Halfords and come back with a, you know, a spare tyre. You know, so searching, the detail is the most important thing. So listen to this. Rather than letting the process determine the outcome to see who runs the team, Man United have decided to alter the rules of the process to make the predetermined outcome fit their own formula. They said all along that they could not spend big on a manager. So that's Enrique ruled out, Emery ruled out. So that's a few choices made with one variable removed. They also said they did not want a World Cup manager. That's Carlo Ancelotti, Pochettino, Nagelsmann, Tuchel ruled out. The variables in the formula are getting fewer. They also said they wanted Premier League proven with Champions League experience. That rules out more managers from other leagues. That rules out hipster choices abroad. It also rules out several others like Marco Silva, Glasner and Iriola because they've got no European experience. So Man United can run a process, But when they put parameters in, that process removes most managers straight away. And you end up in a situation where you can say publicly that you ran a process, a thorough process for the manager, but you only ever end up with Michael Carrick because Michael Carrick doesn't have Premier League experience. He's been an interim coach for 3 months. He doesn't have European experience like some of the other people you've ruled out. But the benefit of Carrick is he's in post as an interim. So you go with Carrick. And I thought it was quite an interesting explanation of the process because you do see some people out there saying, well, Carrick got the job because he's the best man for the job and they ran a thorough process. But it's very similar to these strange parameters that these owners and board members put on our football club. If you want to buy a really good Premier League proven midfielder that can replace Casemiro, I would say Bruno Guimarães is an interesting option who is probably ready to leave Newcastle. But he cannot be considered at Manchester United because he's over 26. So in our recruitment for a midfielder, we're already limited by these strange parameters that the club put in. A lot of people think Ryerson would be a good replacement for Dalot at right back, but we can't sign him because he's over 26. So when you look at the managerial process, I don't think we can say it's a lie that Man United didn't reach out and speak and consider other managers, but their own parameters that they've set, who else is there? We don't want to spend too much money on a manager. Enrique, Emery, out. We don't want to go for a World Cup manager. Pochettino, Nagelsmann, out. We don't want to go for a manager that's not experienced in managing in the Champions League or Europe. Iriola, Glasner, Silva, out. What are you left with? What are you left with? Like, they're literally, there's nothing left. Because they basically removed every parameter to get a decent manager. You know, we're not going to go for someone who's got no European experience. Okay, that's Iriola and Marco Silva gone. But someone with European experience will be expensive. Well, we're not going to pay too much for a manager. Somebody that might not be expensive is a World Cup manager because national team coaches don't get paid that much. Yeah, but we're not going for a World Cup manager. We're not waiting. So suddenly you end up with very little left. And I think that's United's process. It's a little bit like walking into a dress shop and saying, I want a dress. And the salesman goes or woman goes, okay, we've got loads of dresses, but it must be a size 10. It must be in purple. And it must be under £50. You will end up with very, very few choices. So I think TR makes a very good point. A very succinct and clear point for everybody to understand. The scary thing is, we're also doing it with our transfers as well. We don't want an expensive manager. We don't want somebody who's managing in the World Cup. And we don't want someone who's not European experienced. We don't want to spend over £80 million on a player. We don't want somebody over 26. And we don't want anybody that's not really, you know, either Premier League proven or Champions League proven. Well, straight away, you are filtering down a lot of players. You can't buy Stiller because he doesn't play in the Premier League and he's not playing in the Champions League. You know? So we are setting silly parameters at this football club. And I think that, you know, the truth will set you free. I think the recruitment of Michael Carrick becomes very obvious the more you think about those parameters. And the recruitment of Baleba becomes very obvious the more you think about those parameters. Is he under 26? Yes. Is he Premier League proven? Yes. Is he under £80 million? Yes. Is there competition for him? No. You can start to United are putting parameters in place. Data Dean is definitely at play, isn't he?
Yeah, I found our manager. So basically, nobody from the World Cup. Fuck off Pochettino. Fuck off Nagelsmann. Okay, we don't want to spend any more than £8.2 million a year on a manager. Fuck off Emery. Fuck off somebody else who's, you know, Simeone. Okay, and we don't want anybody that's never managed in Europe before. Iriola can do one, you hipster knob. What have we got left? Ollie could come back, or we could go Michael Carrick. I really can't think of anybody else that's going to be less than 8 million who's not managing in the World Cup and has managed in Europe before. On to transfers. At the end of the day, so we want to replace Casemiro, but we don't want to pay anything over 200 grand a week. We don't want to pay over £80 million for them. They must be Premier League proven or Champions League experienced, and they must be under 26. Come on down, Belabor. You know, come on down, Belabor. And I think that we can all laugh at data, Dean, but sometimes you laugh at what you fear to be true. And I think that as much as that was, you know, maybe a little bit of data Dean for a clip, tell me it's wrong. Tell me it's wrong. And as Hope says, which other successful club is working to these parameters? Well, the only other club that's worked to those parameters is Chelsea. You know, we don't want an experienced manager that sort of sticks his nose in. We want a young, inexperienced coach. Potter, Rosinha, right? We don't want to buy players over 24. Garnacho, Delap, Cole Palmer. How's that gone for Chelsea? They're about to miss out on European football completely. So I can't really think of any club that runs to these parameters, but we do seem to have a very strange obsession with a Chelsea model that doesn't work. Marlo says, I feel like shouting to Carrick, don't do it. This won't end well. Ollie got third and second place in a Europa League final. Carrick will probably not last past Christmas. Yeah, I mean, I think, Marlo, I've heard a few people saying if Carrick's got the best interests of the club at heart, he shouldn't take the job. I completely disagree. If, you know, I've managed amateur teams and baller league teams, I'd still take the Man United job if it was offered. You know, your ego kicks in. You're only here once. It's the Man United job, you know, and I respect Carrick's ego that he would not say no. I know Gary Neville said it, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael Carrick said no. I don't think that was ever going to happen. So I don't think we can blame Carrick for taking the job. You blame the people who give him the job. I think Carrick is blameless in this. We can scrutinise Carrick and say we don't think he's good enough or we do think he's good enough, but he takes no blame in taking the job, because I don't see why he should turn it down. You know, it's more on those who've offered it him. We should get Jan Alt too. He's similar to Tchouaméni, says Jacob, a good player. Do you think Carrick could be successful with a better, more experienced backroom staff, says B? I mean, it's a good point. You know, Michael Carrick, I don't think is the right guy. I certainly don't think Steve Holland is. But I might get proven wrong. But I said this a few weeks ago. Is Michael Carrick experienced? No. Could he be an interim manager that's grinding out results and it's all going to fall apart quickly? Yes. Okay, that's Michael Carrick. Does he have an experienced coaching staff behind him? No. So you're basically telling me that in January, we took four jobless people with very little high-end experience, and they're now going to be the dream team to take Man United to the top. The percentage chance of that happening statistically is not great, actually. So you've got Steve Holland, who basically played Southgate ball for many years at international football with a very good team that was better than most national teams. You've got Michael Carrick, who, whilst the legend of the club, you know, got sacked at Middlesbrough with, you know, debatable, you know, success. Johnny Evans has never done anything. And Jonathan Woodgate, you know, meh. Yeah. So statistically, we've got four very inexperienced people. The chance of success is, I would say less than 40%. And that might be a little bit optimistic, because I've also thrown in the results of the last 3 months, which could be swayed by many things. Isn't 2+1 contract weak and cowardly from the board? Yes, Rajaf. Thank you. He says, means they are not fully convinced and don't have the conviction to get a better option. I am here for this, Rajaf. I don't think Carrick should get the job, right? But I see people saying Carrick's the right man for the job and the contract is right as well. And I feel like going, you absolute dossers. What a load of crap. I don't want Carrick to get the job, but that contract's a joke. How can you say you want Carrick to get the job and then be happy with that contract? That contract's a load of bollocks. 2+1. That is rubbish. That is basically saying, we don't think we've got the right guy.
so we're going to put a break clause in it. If they were convinced, do you think they'd give Luis Enrique a 2+1? Do you think they'd give Tuchel a 2+1? Do you think Luis Enrique and Tuchel would sign a 2+1? That just shows you the type of manager we're recruiting, that he would actually sign it. Because I think it's a piss take, 2+1. I think it's a try before you buy. Because with a 2+1, it's a 2. It's basically a 2. So if he has a bad season next year, they might get rid of him next year and go, you've only really got 1 year left on your contract because we're not going to give you the plus one anyway. So I think it should have been a 3-year deal. And even 3 years isn't massively long term. But I do agree with you, Raja. I might not want Carrick to get the job, but I do think a 2+1 is not great. And look, Denise says it's safe. I get it. If you don't want Carrick or you think he might fail, it's safe for the club. It's cheap. But it's not really a ringing endorsement that they've gone for the best guy, is it? Because if you've got the best guy, you're talking 3, 4, 5 years. So even the club themselves are saying to Carrick, we're not sure, you've got to go and prove yourself. But ultimately, the flip side of that is he's got to go and prove himself, hasn't he? So there we go. But Dr. Lush says, what the hell is this guy? Sorry, Apostle says, what the hell is this guy smoking? I don't smoke, mate. I'm giving you my opinion. I think if you recruit a manager that you believe is going to take Manchester United to titles, you don't give them a contract that's not long enough to take us to titles. It's going to take 3, 4, 5 years to win a title. We've given them a contract for 2 years. Not smoking anything, am I? I'm just dishing out facts. That's not a ringing endorsement of the guy that's meant to be taking us to titles when you're only giving him 2 years.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
He might still win as titles and they might extend the contract, but I don't think it's a ringing endorsement. And I don't want Carrick. I'm just saying, I just don't think it's a ringing endorsement to give somebody a 2-year deal. Every player's going to think the same as us. They're going to go, if it starts going wrong, it could go wrong very, very quickly. And I don't want to sack another manager. I don't want to be proven right on this. I think some people do. I mean, there's still Arsenal fans that want Arteta to fail so they can say, I told you so. I mean, how's that going? But I don't want us to sack another manager because I think sacking another manager is another year out of Europe. And I do not want to do that season again, this season again. I do not want to do this season again. It's horrible. So I want it to work. Anderson is 6-1 to join United, says Robert McCormack. Never tell me the odds. Pengers says the risk of Anderson pursuit is how long it will take. Forest will play the long game and they can raise the valuation after the World Cup. Other suitors will get business done in the meantime, while United can only work on one deal at a time. It's interesting, Pengers, isn't it? Because I think if we do get Elliot Anderson, you're probably right. It will take weeks and weeks and weeks. But the fact that Man City are in the race, I don't think it will. I think if it was just Man United, like when we sign Belaba, if we sign Belaba, I don't think it'll happen quickly. Brighton will push us for a price and we will pay it. It will take weeks. But with Anderson, a little bit like Semenyu, it will be quick because Man City don't fuck about. So I think the Anderson deal will get done quite quickly because we either go for it or we don't. We can't really negotiate. I'm talking myself out of it now, but we can't negotiate with Forest on the price if Man City say there's 100 million quid. Kiel says Belaba is the priority. Get with the programme. I think you're probably right. 99% club with Anderson Marks as Melper. God, no. If we're going to pay 70 for Belaba, then why not spend 50 more and go for Palmer? At least he supports the club and will work for it, says DAFC. Congratulations to your daughter, Mark. I've seen your Instagram. Thank you very much, pal. Ian O'Connell, hope you're doing very well. I'm going to talk about Luke Shaw in a minute, yeah. And Midri says, how is a club that is in debt, has not won a title, had very bad recruitment and below average performance given the job to Carrick in 2 years is very low. It's baffling, says Midri. Fair point. Is that a contract assigned? The Glazers don't trust Ineos, says Kiel Robinson. I don't think 2 years for Carrick is trustworthy. And, you know, let's put the plus one where it belongs, in the fucking bin. You know, there are, you know, maybe Onana's got a plus one. Maybe Mason Mount's got a plus one. Maybe Luke Shaw's got a plus one. Doesn't we're not a plus one is an option. So it you know, if you do well, we'll activate it. A 2-year deal for a Man United manager is shit, I think. And I don't even want this manager to get the job, but I'm obviously backing him now. But I think a 2-year deal is crap. I have seen people quite rightly say, I like it because if it goes wrong, we can change him very, very quickly. But it's hardly a ringing endorsement. That's what I'm saying from the board. I understand the fan opinion of going, well, if it fails, we can get rid of him. Absolutely, I understand that. But, you know, best in class, best process, you end up with an interim manager and a 2-year deal. It's not really what I was expecting when they sacked Amorim and said, we're going to have a proper best-in-class recruitment. I didn't expect to give it to an interim for 2 years. I didn't expect that to be the big idea. Any chance you could do a watch-along for the Hearts-Celtic game? No. No, because Celtic are going to win, Skoll, and I think it's massively disappointing for Hearts to be top of the league all season and be so close to winning the Scottish title for the first time since Aberdeen outside of Glasgow Celtic and Glasgow Rangers. But Celtic will win that. It's a foregone conclusion. The club want to go cheap, and those parameters are an excuse to do that, says Ian. Doing the same with Tonali and Bruno G fits in with diligent and prudent. Recon's been over a year as a member now. You're a legend, sir. Thank you very much. Thanks for everybody who's a member, by the way. And we've got another member here in Owen McGarvey, who says, I've just tuned in, Mark. Do you see Morgan Rogers as a winger if Bruno stays and plays? Yeah, I mean, I think Morgan Rogers, if he comes to Manchester United, would be in excess of £80 million. And if you buy a player like that, then you have to start them, definitely. How much more can this club lie? It's sad to see, says Liam. They'll keep lying or spinning for as long as you keep paying, because that's the thing that keeps this club going, money. Jack says, big signing could be Harry Kane, £65 million release clause in January, subject to us getting Champions League. Would be like this club to ignore what we need and go for shirt sales. I mean, I'd be very excited about Harry Kane, Jack. I mean, you know, talking about shirts, I mean, I've got me signed Harry Kane shirt here. Signed on the back. I mean, I would happily have Harry Kane at Manchester United. Whether it be the right move or not, probably not. Will it happen? No. Don't forget they gave Amorim a 2.5-year deal as well, says Glenn. And I said at the time I thought that was very short as well. I remember that, Glenn. Anyway, nearly 8,000 watching. Please do share the video, smash a like. I have to talk about this. So basically, I'm going to actually use Beth's tweet. It's the easiest thing. So there was a post last night where Luke Shaw is one of my favourite players. This came in from Pep Guardiola when talking about Manchester United players at the Youth Cup final. Beth said, are you all going to say Pep Guardiola doesn't know what he's talking about now regarding Luke Shaw? Luke Shaw, when fit, is a very, very good player, settled by one of the best managers ever. Pep Guardiola is a fantastic coach. But if you actually do your research on Pep Guardiola, he's been doing this for years. He glazes players that aren't necessarily well-liked at their own club. And it's whether it's banter, sarcasm or tactical, he's always done it. He's always done it. I am not going to sit back and go, I've watched every Man United game this season and I don't think Luke Shaw's played well since Christmas, and go, but Pep says he has, so Pep's right. And that's not how I work. I don't think it's how anybody else works. But let's just look at it, right? I whacked into Y Scout, which is the scouting stats system that I use and a lot of clubs use. And I use it as well, Mark. I've put Truffert, Lewis Hall, Luke Shaw, Mattson and Anthony Robinson in current Premier League season. Compared them, okay? Crosses per 90, 3.7 Truffert, 4.8 Anthony Robinson, 2.9 Mattson, 2.6 Lewis Hall, 1.2 Luke Shaw. Crosses per 90, absolute shit. Key passes per 90, 0.55 Anthony Robinson, 0.33 Mattson, 0.42 Lewis Hall, 0.35 Truffert, 0.17 Luke Shaw. What else have we got that's position centric? Dribbles per 90. 2.7, Lewis Hall. 2.7, Mattson. 1.6, Truffert. 0.28, Luke Shaw. So, not only is he not one of the best left-backs in the country, he's actually a problem. He doesn't pass. He doesn't cross. He doesn't dribble. And he doesn't really run. But what about defensive? Maybe he's an absolute defensive monster. So let's have a look at Luke Shaw's current season as a defensive player. Successful defensive actions per 90. Truffert, 10.4. Lewis Hall, 9. Mattson, 9.5. Anthony Robinson, 9.9. Luke Shaw, 7.0. Look, not only is the eye test the eye test, but Robert McCormack says he played half a season at left back. Okay, should we switch it to the last five games, Robert? You just sat yourself down massively because I can do last five matches. In fact, let's do last 3 months. I've got a last 3 months option here. Successful defensive actions per 90. Still very, very low. 7.5 compared to Lewis Hall's 9, Truffert's 10, Mattson's 9.1, and Anthony Robinson's 10.4. But no, you know, let's be fair. Last 3 months, he's been playing at left back. Key passes per 90, 0.16, comparable to 0.4 for Hall, 0.35 for Truffert, 0.3 for Mattson, and 0.5 for Anthony Robinson. Crosses per 90, still 1.24, compared to 3.6 for Truffert, 2.5 for Lewis Hall, 2.8 for Mattson, and 4.6 for Anthony Robinson. Dribbles per 90 in the last 3 months as a left back, as Robert McCormack quite rightly said. Dribbles per 90, 0.26. Lewis Hall, 2.7. Mattson, 2.7. Truffert, 1.6. So, mate, we can do last 3 months. We can do the whole season. The eye test, I don't think he's played very well. The stat test, he doesn't get forward. He doesn't put crosses in. He doesn't pay key passes. He doesn't make as many tackles. And he doesn't dribble. This is not a good left back. This is actually an exercise in stop glazing a player that's past it and replace. Don't glaze, replace. Because when I look at the output of Truffert and Hall and Mattson and Robinson, who aren't the best left backs in the league, their output destroys Luke Shaw. There's a myth there. 5 years ago, I think he was one of the best left backs in the world. Now, I think it's an upgrade waiting to happen and we'll be a better team when we do it. And availability is great because he's missed a lot of time through injury, but don't be like confused by availability and ability. Like, I think where Robert makes a good point is that in a back three, he was decent as a left-sided centre-back. As a left-back, I don't think he does the job. I think he stays back a lot and helps out whoever the left centre-back is. I don't think he's part of the attack. And imagine what Cunha would be if he had a left-back who actually went forward a lot, you know? Realistically then, Mark and Co, what would you do? What would get you on Carrick's side and want him as United manager? I mean, that can only happen next season. I mean, he's just got to keep winning. If he's going to play this style of football, he's just got to keep winning and make it exciting. If he's going to play this style of football, which he might, then we've got to keep winning. You know, you've got to be in the top three and you've got to be competing in the Champions League because nobody can argue with results, even if they don't like the performance. If the results are good, he's got to keep winning. Ideally, I'd like him to keep winning and playing a better brand of football. So, you know, that's it for me. Phil says, hi, Mark. Quick shout out for Darlington. FC fans boost the budget. We're at 70K. Big push this season to climb out of the National League North. What, you're funding it? Shout out to Darlington FC fans, boost the budget. We're at 70k. Big push this season to climb out of the National League North. Well, good luck, mate. I'm actually looking to get involved in a club at the moment. So, I mean, Darlington is a hell of a drive. I don't really want to invest in a club that's so far away, but I am looking at some options. So I'm always, you know, in awe of these fans of, you know, not the traditional Premier League clubs. Look at what Sheffield Wednesday are doing. It's incredible. Realistically then, Mark and Co, done that one. Don't forget, done that one as well. And Mr. Moat says, probably a silly question, but by United's books, what could they actually spend this year? I don't know. I don't know, mate, because access to Man United's books are completely different. We might be able to spend £500 million. But just because you've got £500 million in your bank doesn't mean you're going to spend it. United might say we want to keep £300 million for the stadium. We might want to pay some debt off. So I don't know what it is. Lee Berman says, Data Dean and Vinny show for 2026. Data Dean's the star of the show. How much? Anyway, OK, look, I've gone past 11 o'clock. I do need a coffee. I am back at we've got an interesting day on That's Football. It's final day on of Bundesliga football. So we've got full footage of 2:30 Bundesliga game on the channel again, if you want to watch that. And I'm live at 3 o'clock on That's Football for the FA Cup final. So we've got live actual match footage of the Bundesliga at 2:30. And then I've got a watch along of the FA Cup. And we do have an 8 o'clock show live tonight as well. So make sure you smash a like. Kirk has smashed all these stats last season, mate. But what, Robert, why don't you just say you think Luke Shaw's brilliant? Why don't you tell me why he is? Because you're right. Kirkez was very good last season and he hasn't done very well at Liverpool. But Luke Shaw's not done well at Man United. I'm waiting for you to come back and tell me why Luke Shaw's good. Because factually, with the eyes, I don't think he's very good. And also, he doesn't actually contribute in any way in the way that a left-back should. That's why I had five other left-backs and they're not the best five left-backs in the league. Just a spread of what left-backs do. They get forward. They put crosses in. They tackle a lot. They dribble. They pass a lot. He doesn't do any of it. So it's not about Kirkez. Luke Shaw is not delivering at left-back. It's a fact. And it's a myth that he should go to the bloody World Cup. He's not very good. I wouldn't put him in the top 10 left-backs in the Premier League. Legitimately, I wouldn't, because I don't think he operates as a left-back. I think he operates as a left-sided centre-back at left-back. Thank you, everybody, for watching. It's all about opinion. Stay safe, take care, and I will speak to you all in a bit. Thanks for watching.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.